From WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio Boston, this is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Hurricane Dorian slammed into the Bahamas last weekend as a Category 5 hurricane, then stalled and sat there for 2 days, leaving Grand Bahama and Abaco Islands devastated, many areas flattened, and large portions of the islands underwater. Dorian was the second strongest Atlantic hurricane on record, and also the second slowest moving. And that makes it part of a trend. One study last year found that over the past 70 years, Atlantic hurricanes have gotten more likely to stall, and that leads to more extreme rainfall and can also make it harder to predict where the storms will go. Tim Hall is a senior scientist at NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies and co-author of that study. Tim, welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Thanks for having me.
This stalling out of hurricanes is something that seems to have become increasingly common just in the past few years. I mean, if you think about storms like Florence and Harvey, but you've seen a longer trend in your research, 70 years. How pronounced is this trend?
That's right. The trend is noisy, but it stands out and it stands up to all the tests we've thrown at it. And roughly speaking, if you look at the first third of that period and compare it to the last third, the most recent third, we've seen about a 60% increase in the frequency of events like Dorian stalling near the coast, or in fact, stalling anywhere in the North Atlantic.
So, Tim Hall, this study documents the trend in whether or not hurricanes stall, right? That's just looking empirically at the hurricane data that we have. But do we understand what makes a hurricane stall?
That's a great question. The immediate answer is that the particular meteorological conditions are set up to cause that stall. Hurricanes are kind of like corks on a stream. They're being pushed along by the large-scale wind patterns in the atmosphere. And sometimes those wind patterns just collapse before they change into different patterns. It's basically what we call weather. And when that happens, the storm, sort of imagine a cork moving into an eddy in the stream, and it doesn't have any guidance, and it just kind of bobs around locally until it gets caught up by a new wind pattern. So every time you have a stalling event, Dorian, Florence, Harvey, you can see some kind of scenario like that. But the longer-term view is what might be causing trends in those scenarios. And although we're not certain, and it's really at the cutting edge of research right now, and what we can say about the climate-hurricane relationship, we do indeed have a culprit, and the culprit is related to a slowdown in large-scale atmospheric wind patterns, likely due to a warming climate. So there is a climate change signal there. Although I should say, it's probably a climate change signal that's the least well understood of all the aspects of hurricane-climate relationship.
So when it comes to whether or not a hurricane stalls, it sounds like we're talking about much broader atmospheric conditions, not characteristics of the hurricane, of the storm itself. And then likewise, in terms of this long-term trend and whether or not it's related to climate change, again, that's related to changes in, you know, the jet stream and in weather patterns more broadly, not changes in how hurricanes are forming or functioning as a relation to climate change.
Right. Hurricanes are subject to the conditions of the environment in which they find themselves, and they are pushed along by these large-scale wind patterns. The jet stream is one example in middle latitudes. Dorian was a stall in the subtropics, but there are wind patterns in the subtropics too that and they appear to be slowing down. Climate change simulations show pretty robustly that going forward, these tropical wind patterns are slowing down, but also even over the past several decades, they've been slowing down. And hurricanes are responding to that.
Of course, we've also seen, in addition to whether or not hurricanes stall, Dorian is the fifth Category 5 hurricane in the Atlantic in 4 years, setting a record for the longest running streak, I guess you would call it, the longest number of consecutive years of having a Category 5 hurricane form in the Atlantic. And that seems to be a pretty clear, or very consistent at least, with what is expected on the basis of climate change.
That's right. I mean, I like to look at the climate change hurricane relationship is a kind of a hierarchy from what we know best to what we have some suspects about, but is a little bit less certain. And what we know best is that sea level is rising, and that exacerbates coastal flooding due to storm surge, even if other aspects of hurricanes weren't changing. And it did, that's the most robust projection of a changing climate. Nearly as robust as the fact that hurricanes will rain more, are raining more. And that's simply because warmer air in a warmer climate holds more water in vapor form. So when the conditions are right, like they are in a hurricane, it dumps that water vapor as rain. But just below that is something you're alluding to. And there's a strong consensus now in the scientific community that studies hurricanes that the increasing heat content of ocean water in a warming climate is fueling greater intensification. Not necessarily more storms. In fact, there's really no evidence globally that there are going to be more storms year on year. But the ones that do form are likely to reach the highest levels of intensity, or more likely than in the past.
I mean, if you put all of that together, it's not a pretty picture. I mean, you're talking more of these Category 5 hurricanes, as you said, not more total storms, but just more likely to have these more intense storms, storms that carry and therefore can dump more rain, and then more likely to stall, giving them even more time for those stronger winds and more rain to wreak havoc, exactly as we saw with Dorian. I mean, is this really a glimpse of what we should be expecting more of going forward?
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm the bringer of bad news, and I'm afraid it is. You know, at least for, you know, the foreseeable next few decades, as the climate continues to warm, these hurricane hazard variables are going to respond in the way you just described. I mean, you know, it's a noisy signal. So one year you may have a lot of intense hurricanes, and next year it may be quiet. There's certainly internal variability, which causes year-to-year changes that are not climate change-driven. But the long-term trend appears to be clear.
Tim Hall, in the study where you looked at this long-term trend in hurricanes becoming more likely to stall, you also note that hurricanes that stall tend to be more unpredictable, or they tend to sometimes take these sharp turns in their paths and be harder to predict. I mean, in my mind, if there's a silver lining to a hurricane compared to other forms of extreme weather, it's always been the fact that you get a fair bit of warning about it. But it sounds like maybe we should rethink that as well, that it's going to get harder to predict hurricanes.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Hurricanes that stall tend to be more difficult to forecast. It's not surprising, because once the storm stalls, where is it going to move in that stalling period? I mean, it's stalling, so it's in a confined region, but it could meander back and forth, like, say, Harvey did, onto land, and it'll attenuate if it's over land, but then back over ocean, where it strengthens and picks up more evaporation to dump as rain. But those sort of meanderings are difficult to forecast, because there are no large-scale guiding winds to push the hurricane along a trajectory. And it's the large-scale features that are easiest to forecast. The very small-scale features that depend just on the local environment and the dynamics of the hurricane itself tend to be more difficult to forecast. So a stalling hurricane is also a more difficult hurricane to forecast. That's true.
I mean, altogether, again, as you said, you're kind of the bearer of bad news. This is not an encouraging picture. And it feels like, to some degree, the conversation around hurricanes and climate change may also have stalled a little bit, that every time we get one of these big storms, and there have been a fair number of them in the past few years, we end up in this same loop of, is this climate change? And the next question, I guess, would be, is there anything we can do about that? I mean, how do we respond to this growing knowledge that, yes, storms are getting stronger, they're dumping more rain, they may be stalling and doing more damage more frequently? What do we do with that knowledge?
Well, I think it's a complicated question, absolutely. I think there's a short-term answer and a longer-term answer. I mean, the shorter-term answer is, regardless of the cause of these intense storms, I mean, people in harm's way, you know, just need to adapt somehow to put in emergency disaster planning situations, to develop building codes that allow for increases in these types of catastrophes. And that happens. That's happening by fits and spurts too, and maybe not as consistently as you'd like to see, but it does happen. Building codes over time get increasingly stringent. Of course, more and more people want to live by the coast, so that kind of counteracts the trend in more resilient buildings. The longer term picture, yes, has to do with climate change and the business as usual carbon dioxide emissions scenario, fossil fuel usage scenario that we continue to be on, exacerbates the problem decade by decade. If we stopped emitting fossil fuels tomorrow, which is highly unlikely, the climate actually would still go on warming for a couple of decades because the oceans take much longer to respond to the forcing from human emissions than does the atmosphere. And it's the oceans are fueling this intensification of the storms. So it's going to be a problem. It's going to be an increasing problem for decades to come. So really, the answer, in the long run is you still want to bend the curve down as best you can by, reducing fossil fuel emissions. But you also need to talk about, more resilient structures on the coast, possibly retreating from various parts of coastlines and islands that might well become uninhabitable when you couple the hurricane changes with rising sea levels.
Of course, these kinds of conversations and thinking about that long term are very difficult, if not completely impossible, for communities, the Bahamas in the wake of this disaster and communities that are facing the immediate threat of a hurricane or the immediate aftermath of a major hurricane. And there's sometimes a criticism that this conversation about the longer term responses should perhaps wait. What's your response to that?
I'd like to think we can do both. I don't think it's an either or kind of situation. It's a false dichotomy to say, well, let's just look at the short term and set aside the longer term. We should be able to talk about, what's going to come in terms of increased frequency of catastrophes, next decade and the one after, because we build structures that we hope last that long. At the same time, talk about how are we going to better respond to catastrophes now to protect people in harm's way, to, improve the chances that they're going to get out of there safely and have a place to go, at least temporarily. So I think we need to try to do both. I don't see it as either or.
Timothy Hall is a senior scientist at NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies, studying trends in hurricane strength and their propensity to stall, at least in the Atlantic Ocean. Tim, thanks so much for talking with us.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Up next, what 9,000 studies have revealed about the biology of chronic fatigue syndrome. Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.